शोदानन्दन व्रज जन रञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय पंचतत्व जय पंचतत्व पंचतत्व जय पंचतत्व जय प्रह्लाद नरसिंह जय प्रह्लाद नरसिंह प्रह्लाद नरसिंह जय प्रह्लाद नरसिंह जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय श्री श्री राधा माधवाष्ट सखि वृंद की जय श्री श्री पंचतत्व की जय श्री प्रह्लाद नरसिंहदेव की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय समवेत गौर भक्त वृंद की जय निताय गौरव प्रेमानंदे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 22 श्लोक 27 मान स्तंभ निमित्तानां जन्म आदीनां समन्ततः सर्वश्रेय प्रतीपानां हन्त मुह्येत् न मत्पर मानस्तंभ निमित्तानां जन्मादीनां समन्तत सर्वश्रेय प्रतीपानां हन्त मुह्येन्न मत्पर मानस्तंभ निमित्तानां जन्मादीनां समन्तत sarvashreyah pratipanam hantamuhyennamat para manastambha nimittanam janmadinam samantata sarvashreyah pratipanam hantamuhyennamat para. Mada diz: mana of false prestige, stambha because of this impudence, nimittanam which are the causes, janma adinam such as birth in high family, samantataha taken together, sarvashreya for the supreme benefit of life, pratipanam which are impediments, hanta also, muhyet becomes bewildered, na not, matparaha my pure devotees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Although aristocratic birth and other such opulences are impediments to advancement in devotional service, because they are cause of false prestige and pride, these opulences never disturb a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, who was given unlimited material opulence, have the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once Kuvera wanted to give Dhruva Maharaj a benediction, but although Dhruva Maharaj could have asked him for any amount of material opulence, he instead begged Kuvera that he might continue his devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a devotee is fixed in his devotional service, there is no need for the Lord to deprive him of his material opulences. The Supreme Personality of Godhead never takes away material opulences achieved because of devotional service, although He may sometimes takes away opulences achieved by pious activities. He does this to make a devotee prideless or put him in a better position in devotional service. If a special devotee is meant for preaching but does not give up his family life or material opulences to the service of the Lord surely takes away his material opulences and establishes him in devotional service. Thus, the pure devotee becomes fully engaged in propagating Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshoranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guran Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So first of all, I'd like to beg blessings from all the devotees in order to be able to speak. It's a very, very, very interesting subject matter. In the previous shlokas, we have seen Bali Maharaj is already arrested by Garudadev, and he's tied up by the noose of Varuna. He has already surrendered everything. Everything is gone. Everything is lost. Nothing left with him. But because his attitude is so good, his devotional service, he is still so devoted to Krishna, that the demigods, they start praying to Vamandev, please don't hurt him anymore. He has already gotten enough punishments. Don't harm him anymore. He doesn't need to be remain tied up anymore. So this is the first quality we see here from Bali Maharaj. There's a quality of Vaishnavas. Even the enemy doesn't want him to be seen harmed. This one is also seen again in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Duryodhana, he asked Karna to, because Karna becomes the general, so he asks him, kill the Pandavas. At least capture, defeat, win the war for me. And Karna, he goes out, and that's his day. He's fighting. He's defeating everybody, one after another. Starts with Bhimsen. He defeats Bhimsen. And then he says, you're only busy in eating. You don't know what fighting is. I cannot kill you. Defeats Nakul and Sahadev. He says, you people are just kids. You haven't grown up yet. How can I kill you? Goes and defeats Yudhishthir Maharaj. And he says, you have completely forgotten the education you received from Dronacharya. Go back to your camp, get your wounds healed. I cannot kill you. The reason is mentioned, because they are devotees, even though he's an enemy, he doesn't feel that he wants to kill these great souls. And the reason he gives is, I have promised my mother Kunti that five of her sons will always remain alive. He's working hard to kill Arjuna, but he knows that he cannot kill Arjuna because Krishna is on his side. It's a great quality among Vaishnavas. And that's why Maharaj Yudhishthir was named Ajatashatru. A person whose enemy was never born. If you see throughout his life, he's always enveloped with his enemies. But he never considered any of them as his enemies. It's mentioned, he would not call Duryodhan as Duryodhan. He would call him Suyodhan. Why? He doesn't want to call him by any bad names or ill names, even if it has Du in it, which means terrible. Duryodhan means one who is a terrible fighter, terrible warrior. No, he's a good warrior. So this is the quality of Vaishnavas. And then, Vamandev, he starts speaking to Lord Brahma and to all the assembled demigods. He says, to get rid of the pride among the devotees, sometimes he takes away the material opulences. And he's explaining. And here, he says, even though a devotee might be born in a big aristocratic family, may have a lot of opulence, but they never get attracted to it because they know it, that it will take them down from the path of devotional service. And if it sometimes doesn't, they do get involved with pride, then Krishna helps them. Some time ago, I was reading, and in Varaha Puran, Krishna himself mentions the devotees. Many times, they get, when they are about to leave their body, they may be going through a lot of sufferings. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, at the time of death, whatever you remember, that's what you will become in your next life. Whatever you think about, that's what you will be. But in Varaha Puran, he also mentions, he says, my devotees, at the time of death, if because of some physical problem, they are unable to remember me, seeing what they have done throughout their life, I still take them back to Godhead. Because they have done so much. And it is repeatedly seen, Krishna always gives us different signs. Okay, don't go on this path. You're going to go wrong. He shows something else. There is always multiple things comes in our life which we can learn that we should not go down this path, otherwise we will be in trouble. But many times due to attachment, we don't follow. And then we hit hard ground. And that's when we wake up. Okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. Recently, I read a very, very nice quote from Mahatma Prabhu. I think he wrote it as a poem. He says, I entered the door of Goloka Vrindavan and I was surprised and I was shocked, not by the beauty of Goloka Vrindavan, not by the wonderful things over there, but by the devotees in there. He said, there was the Sangirtan leader who stole the money of the deities 3 times. There was my temple president who was a nasty fellow throughout my whole life. And then he goes on, you know, there was this person who did this, this person who did that. How in the world they all ended up over here in Goloka Vrindavan? And then he mentions, and then I see my spiritual master standing. And I ask him, what are these people doing here? And why are they looking at me with such a surprise? And he says, because they are thinking the same thing that you are thinking about them. And then he mentions, every devotee has a past and every sinner has a future. So don't judge anybody because of their present situation. They will turn into great devotees. And if you see Krishna, repeatedly he has done that. He never gave up on us. On many occasions, we gave up on the Lord. Somebody died, my mother died. How can Krishna be so cruel? My child died. How can you be so cruel? I don't have faith in him anymore. If God is good, then how can bad things happen? But it's such an interesting thing. Krishna himself mentions that I do this so that you come back to reality. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, he says, because of material attachment, if you are supposed to be preaching, you're supposed to go out for preaching, and you're still attached to material opulence, Krishna takes it away. And then you have no other option than to completely surrender and go and follow his instructions and go out preach. Srila Prabhupada in his life also had the same things. Krishna says, he will never take away opulence that comes from devotional activities. But if it is based on piety, he may take it away. And I heard from different Vaishnavas, that Srila Prabhupada mentioned to them, Krishna said, go down to the material world and preach. He said, no, I'm not going there. He says, why? Because it's too much austerity down there. The 6 Goswamis went there, sleeping underneath a new tree every day. They have to go out begging and eating. So much difficult, too much austerities. And Krishna says, don't worry, I will make a palace for you in every city. You will have lots of opulences. So, we can see very clearly how Krishna takes care of us. Yesterday when it was raining, I noticed there are these lotus leaves. And you see the raindrops, they sit on there. And it reminded me of this particular instance. That if the lotus leaf was not there, the water would have either went inside the mud, disappeared, evaporated, anything happens. But because it's there on the lotus leaf, it looks like a beautiful pearl. And it sits there as long as nothing harasses it. So as long, it strikes that as long as a devotee remains surrendered to Krishna, he looks like this beautiful pearl, which is sitting on the lotus leaf, separate from the rest of the crowd, you can say. In Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj, many times he mentions to the boys, he said, don't become a face in the crowd. Do something special for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. Don't be an ordinary person. So it looks like that, you have the lotus leaf and a drop of rainwater on top. Beautiful pearl. And everybody, people take pictures and put it up on there. On the walls and this and that. Well, it looks beautiful. Just like Krishna, how he holds us up and takes care of us. And then, even in the life of the Pandavas, they have been through so many things. They became the emperor of the world. There was nothing left. And then, Krishna took away everything. And they become, men, you know, how to say, forest dwellers. But they remained constantly attached to Krishna. And it helped them, and they became the emperor of the world again. So, the point from what I understand from this purport is as long as we are devoted to the Lord, as long as we don't do something against the will of Krishna, He is taking care of us. Before, when I got married, I asked my Guru Maharaj for his blessings. And he wrote his blessings in a letter. He said, as long as you follow the rules and regulations of Grihastha Ashram properly, you have my blessings. As soon as I don't follow, I don't have his blessings. That's what it means. To maintain the blessings of my Guru Maharaj. So that's a very powerful statement. If you want to be successful, you follow the rules and regulations and you will have my blessings. And in my life I have seen on several occasions, I'm protected by his blessings. And this helps. You know, this message helps. I must follow the regulations of Grihastha Ashram. Otherwise, I will not have the blessings of my spiritual master on my head anymore. It's does a fear, but it works for people like me who always works on fear. Not necessarily has, okay, you know, the drive. Let me do this, let me do that. Oh, if I don't do this, you know, you have that. That's why Krishna, he mentions, I think Prahlad Maharaj, he mentions, is always perform activities that you will remember Krishna. And don't perform activities that you will forget Krishna. So you always remember him and never forget him. How do we follow this? What does it mean? Always remember and never forget. What is the difference between the two? It makes it, you know, if you think about it, it's the same thing. If you're always remembering, you cannot forget. But if you never forget, you're always remembering. So what is the difference between the two? The simple difference is about the consciousness. It's the same thing. Okay, I don't forget to offer bhoga to the Lord before I eat. So I like to eat nice halwa. So I will make the halwa, offer it to the Lord, and then I will eat. And then, so that's never forgetting Krishna. And what is always remember Krishna? Oh, Krishna would like to eat halwa. And because he, you know, it's rainy season, it's raining outside, it's cold, so hot pakoras are good. With some nice tamarind chutney, it's good. Okay, so let's make that for Krishna. And then we can have that. So it's just the difference of mentality. And in this difference of mentality, it makes a big difference of that I did not forget him and I am always remembering him. Just like you have the fish, it hatches eggs. It lays eggs in the water. And how does it hatch? It's constantly remembering, it's meditating on the babies, on the eggs. And that's how the eggs hatch and the fish comes out. So that's always remembering, constantly, like a mother. There is pastimes comes when Krishna wants to go out tending cows and Mother Yashoda has beautifully dressed him. And then Krishna is ready to go out and he starts going out and Mother Yashoda is like, oh Krishna, wait. You don't have a flute on your waist. Okay. He comes back, gives him a flute. Krishna starts going out. Hey, wait. Some dust got on your dhoti. Let me, dust it off. Okay. And goes off. And all the cowherd boys are waiting. And Krishna starts walking off a little bit. Oh Krishna, wait. Like what happened? Oh no, something fell on your hair. He's always thinking. And then Krishna is like, Ma, can I go? He says, okay, you can go. And they are all waiting. Dinabandhu Prabhu mentions it very nicely. He says, they are waiting till Krishna takes this turn, out of the village. Till the end they can see Krishna. And till that time, all the cowherd boys are very sober. You know, they are peaceful. They are walking. You know, everybody taking care of the cows, walking. And all the cowherd big men, all the gopis, Mother Yashoda, they are looking. okay, they are all nice, nicely going. And as soon as they take that turn, that curve on the road where they can, everybody else cannot see, it just turns wild. And they start snatching each other's tiffin boxes, throwing around here and there, playing around, messing around, cows are running around. It goes wild. But throughout the whole day, the gopis and Mother Yashoda, they are constantly thinking about Krishna. So Mother Yashoda goes back inside, starts cooking. And then, you know, cook makes everything ready and sends. Okay, Krishna might be somewhere. Even though they have the tiffins with them, still she sends something. Okay, it must have gotten cold. He should eat something fresh and hot. And in one instance, the gopis, they're walking around. And from trees to trees, they are searching where these people are. And finally, they find at a distance, you know, Krishna is very hungry. He's like, what happened to these gopis? How come they didn't come today? And he's like, okay. You know, he sends few boys out. Go search them. So the boys are there. They climb trees. They are looking for these cowherd girls. And they see them at a distance. So they take their chadars and they swing them around. He says, hey, we are here. We are here. So they come. They feed. And they tell Krishna, Krishna is so hot. We never know where you are going. Why don't you at least inform where you are going to go today so we can come? It's so difficult. And Krishna, he just smiles and gives them a hug. It's done. And all, everybody's like, okay, our fatigue is gone. Then they all go back and again, constantly thinking of Krishna. And then again, when Krishna comes back in the evening, then they are all happy. At one instance, the gopis, they say, they are cursing Lord Brahma. He gave us there are four heads, but he has no brain inside. He says, why? He says, there is Krishna, such a beautiful person, such a sweet person. You always want to admire him, you always want to see him. But he gave the stupid eyelids. And they blink. And when they blink, we cannot see Krishna. He has no brain. He has four heads, but no brain. So this is what, you know, Krishna wants us to come on this level. That's why he himself comes in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us how to come up to this level. And then he continuously sends different devotees to bring us back on this level. That many times, not many times, practically every day, many of us, we perform the 10th offense towards the holy name. Even though we have heard the glories of the holy name so many times, we all don't want to give up the material attachments. We say it every morning, you know, the 10 offenses towards the holy name, many devotees, we say it every morning. But it's so difficult. It becomes so hard. So that's why Krishna makes it so much easy. You know, he makes it easier and easier and easier. Yeah. First he says, you know, perform austerities for 60,000 years. Okay, because they can do that. Then, okay, you cannot do that, perform big yagyas. You cannot do that, perform deity worship. You cannot do that, you people of Kali Yuga are so dull-headed. Just perform Sankirtan. Constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is enough. But for us it's so difficult that also. So Prabhupada said 64 rounds, we said no. So 32 rounds, we said no. So 16 rounds, we said no. He said no, minimum 16 you have to do. Made it so simple. But including myself, it's so difficult to chant 16 rounds every day. And as soon as you pull down that 16th bead, whew, a big load is off the head. Yeah. Okay, finally, I finished my rounds for today and I can do something else. Now, that's why Srila Prabhupada, he commented once. You know, he finishes 16 rounds. He says, I have completed my 16 rounds. Now I can do any damn thing I want in my life. He made a comment for us because that's our mood. So as long as we depend on Krishna fully, like Bali Maharaj, he's been depending. He says, okay, I fear. He says, my only fear is getting losing fame, of not being able to serve the Brahmana as I could. I don't fear being tied up with noose. I don't fear, you know, going to hellish planets. I don't fear being punished by Vamandev. But I do not want to not please you. He mentions to Shukracharya, even though if he comes in the form of a Brahman, he's my enemy. But because he's in the form of a Brahmana, I cannot reject him. And what a fortune that a person who's taking care of the whole, thousands and thousands of universes, is coming and begging 3 steps of land from me. And how can I say no? He says, very, very few fortunate people will get this opportunity to do this. And I don't want to miss it. In Ramayana, it mentions that the Lord will come in our life at least 3 times. In everybody's life, He will come. And we have to recognize Him. If we don't recognize Him, then it's our misfortune. So, there is an instance of Tulsidas. Somehow he managed to please Hanuman. And Sri Hanuman, he mentions, ask for anything you want. I'm very pleased with you. He says, I want to take darshan of Ramachandra. I don't want anything else. Okay, fine. Ramachandra will come to you. You have to recognize him. So he was there on the banks of River Saryu grinding chandan. Ram Lakshman came in the form of prince. They came. He says, oh Baba, can we get some chandan to apply on our head? Yeah, sure, take. And they leave. And Hanumanji comes and he says, so, did you meet them? He says, no. He says, they just came. They met with you. He says, oh, those were Ram and Lakshman? Like, yes. Oh, again, please. He says, okay. They will come once again. So after some days, Ramchandra and Lakshman, they come as mendicants. He says, oh Baba, can we get some chandan to apply in our head? Yeah, sure, take it. So, did you talk to them? To who? Ram and Lakshman, they just came. He says, no, I couldn't recognize them. He says, okay, this is the last time they will come. They will not come after this. Okay, you have to recognize. Again they come in the form as Ram and Lakshman. But when they were out, in their exile period. He says, Baba, can we get some chandan to apply on our head? And he says, yeah, sure, take it. Still didn't recognize. And then that time, Hanumanji is thinking, this is also his last chance. You know, if he doesn't recognize it this time, he's going to lose it. And then Hanumanji, he's mentioned. He starts singing in the form of a parrot. Says, Ram and Lakshman have come on the banks of River Saryu begging Tulsidas for chandan. And Tulsidas is applying the chandan on Ram and Lakshman. And Tulsidas heard that and immediately grabbed his hand. Says, my Lord, please accept me. The same thing happened with Bilwa Mangal Das Thakur. When he goes to Vrindavan, he's blind. And then Krishna comes. Oh, Baba, take some milk. I know you are hungry. My mother saw you hungry. I brought you some milk. Oh, he comes every day, starts. And at one point, I need to cross the road. And he was feeling this immense pleasure dealing with this small boy. And then one day, he grabbed Krishna's hand. And as soon as he touched him, he knew it was Krishna. And he grabbed him. He said, Krishna, that's you. And Krishna, he jerked his hand and he ran away and he stood there at a distance and started to laugh at him. And Bilwa Mangal Das Thakur, he mentions, today you are jerking my hand and running away, thinking that I'm a weak man. But if you have real strength, you try and escape from my heart. I have encaged you, you cannot run away. And Krishna was so pleased, he gave him darshan that time. So many instances we have like this. And this all instances happen so that we can bring ourselves on that level and see how we can please Krishna. Different devotees have different ways of pleasing Krishna. There was this one, a pot maker. His name was Gora from Maharashtra. He was always fully engrossed in worshipping Krishna. And he would make this pot. He was so poor. And at one point, Krishna decided that he wants to go and help him. So he went there in the form of a Shudra. And he said, I don't have any work. If you can please engage me in making these pots and I can sell them for you. Okay, fine, sure, why not? So he is helping Krishna, is mushing the mud with his feet, making the pot. And Garuda Dev becomes donkey. So Krishna, he would put all those clay pots, put it on Garuda Dev, go out to the market, sell it, and bring back money. You know, he's flourishing, he's becoming rich. And then one point, there was this great devotee called Dhyaneshwar. And he says, he goes to Dwaraka to take darshan of the Lord. And he was such a great devotee, he could see the Lord in the deity. But he says, Krishna is not present here. Where is Krishna? So he asked the pujaris, you people are not serving properly, the Lord has left the deity. He says, what? And so he sits down in meditation and he sees Dwaragadish is together with Garuda Dev, being a Shudra and a donkey in this devotee's house. And so that's how he attained devotional service. So now, in our own lives, we have maybe experienced Krishna coming and helping. The only way to achieve, with all these three examples we see, a devotee has to come and tell us that there is Krishna. He can help you. You know, the devotee helps us. So surrender to the spiritual master becomes the utmost important thing for us. Seeing, okay, I have devoted myself to the Lord. I have seen how it works. I have performed the duty as much to the best of my capacity. And by the surrender to the spiritual master, then I can take darshan of Krishna. This is also the same thing done by Bali Maharaj. Complete surrender. And he is the Mahajan who teaches us the Atma Nivedana process. Full surrender. So from the pastimes of Bali Maharaj, we can try, we can learn how we can become fully devoted to Krishna. So we will end here, it's time. Anybody has any comments or any questions? Okay, so we will... Oh, yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned Krishna appears three times. Did you quote it was from...
It's from Ramayana.
From Ramayana.
Yeah, Hanumanji is mentioning, he says, in devotee's life, Krishna will appear three times. And then he will... It mentions in Ramayana.
Prabhupada says something similar, that Krishna gives you three warnings about coming to the material world. Mm-hmm. Okay, from Ramayana. Thank you.
Thank you, bro. Anything else? Okay, so we'll end here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Nitai Gaur Premanande.